My name is Theresa Baumgarten. I'm Marketing Manager at ITB Berlin, and I would like to welcome you to a new podcast episode of the Travel Hero Podcast by ITB. With today's episode, we are also kicking off a series of four episodes dealing with quite a hot topic that not only the tourism industry is currently facing, name shortage of skilled labor. Well, there's closed restaurants, hotels, canceled flights, poor working conditions, seasonal and shift work. The industry really doesn't have it easy right now and has to fight a rather unattractive reputation. And in the end, many jobs remain vacant. And the German newspaper Tagesspiegel claimed just the other day that there are currently 46,000 vacancies in the German hotel catering and catering industry alone. And actually vacant, there's probably up to, 100,000 jobs. And why is that, we ask? What happened to the claim that actually worked really well in acquisition for years, which was work where others go on vacation? Is the tourism industry really that bad to work in? And is there a new work attitude companies have to cater to? And how and where does a tourism company actually find suitable staff? Oof, there's so many questions, but without spoiling too much, we will find out. Our moderator of this exciting topic series is Laura Schmidt, co-founder of Elevator and self-proclaimed hospitality nerd, who founded her young company with a special mission that is very much in line with the stated topic. Dear Laura, welcome, first of all. Could you share more about what you actually do?
Yeah, hello there. And thank you very, very much, Theresa, for this charming introduction. You're right. Elevator, which is a networking and inspiration platform for professionals in the hospitality industry, providing them with industry specific contents, also aims at illustrating the multifaceted nature of our industry, with the ultimate goal actually to improve the sector's image as a working and career environment. And Elevator stands for Thinking Hospitality Forward. And that is why in everything we do, we focus on inspiration and innovation. And with our content, we encourage people to think ahead and about what will be important in tomorrow's world. So we create cross-industry and international knowledge transfer, and we are at home on various channels and, as we call it, a hospitality next work for the new gen, for young leadership, for female power, and actually for all movers and shakers of the hospitality industry.
Well, thank you, Laura. In my eyes, that's a really super interesting and forward-looking business model. And thanks for the intro. But back to our topic. What and who can we expect in the four upcoming podcast episode on the topic of shortage of skilled workers?
Well, what we will do is examining the question from different perspectives. So we will start with a conversation with two representatives of, let's call it the next generation. Those two are currently developing their skills and competencies in the course of their academic education. And it will be interesting to learn what makes working in the tourism industry attractive to them. What does an employer need to be like? What does the job itself need to be like? How does the working space look like, etc., etc.? And in the following episode, our guest will be a professor from of IU, the International University of Applied Sciences. And he'll give us insights on the topic from a scientific perspective. So we will learn, or we will have a deeper look at a study of the IU that was conducted about long-lasting motivation at work. We then, of course, want to find out how the topic is dealt with in practice. Why, we will talk to two employers within the industry, and we want to learn more about their efforts and strategies, and also about their experiences with those efforts. And finally, we will talk about the question, how organizations can enable talent development, what kind of tools there are, and then eventually how talent can be retained in the industry.
Great. Thanks for this awesome preview. I think it's going to be very exciting because we will be looking at the topic from so many different angles and hopefully in the end shed some light on how to deal with this hot topic on the situation.
Right.
So, why don't we dive in the first episode with the, you call them next gen, or let's call them twins, also known as the future generation of employees. Enjoy the conversation.
Thank you, Teresa. I am very happy to kick off this series of ITB Travel Hero Let's Talk in this very moment. And today, as you just heard in my little conversation with Teresa, we are going to meet two passionate young professionals who are currently preparing for their professional future. They are both studying at university, though in very different fields. So first of all, let us welcome Pia Mingenbach and Stefan Nemeth. Hi, Pia. Hi, Stefan.
Hey, Laura. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great that you both join us for this very first episode of our series that deals with the hot topic of labor shortage in the industry. And you both actually represent just the kind of skilled labor the industry is looking for. That is why we would like to learn what work is all about or should be all about in your eyes. What do you expect from your professional careers and your future employers? And ultimately, what makes you happy at work and eventually in the industry you work in? Because often we talk about what the next generation might want or how their representatives might be like, etc., instead of just involving them into the discussion. So that is what we want to do in this course, in the course of this episode. And to start off, Pia, you're 21 years old and currently studying leisure and tourism management at University of Applied Sciences Stralsund. What do you like most about your study program?
Well, actually, I'm already about to finish my study program. It's an 8-semester bachelor degree, and I'm currently in my 7th semester, and it's an internship semester. So this is already the first thing that I very much like about my studies. It's very practical. And I just came back from a semester abroad, which I spent in Barcelona. So for me, the tourism industry is the perfect sector and the perfect study course to get a lot of experience from different fields and somehow link your passion with your personal expectations and your like ideas about your future. So I think that the LTM study course, which I chose, is a program that offers me a lot of that, like the opportunity to experiment myself and to test myself in different sectors, different fields, not only from tourism, but also from the media universe and also the language education, which is also part of my studies, which is another practical component, which is very, very handy and useful in my later occupation, I imagine.
Muy bien. To get back to this and also to your semester abroad in Spain, in Barcelona. So this probably goes hand in hand a bit with the aspects that fascinate you about the tourism industry as such. Trying out different things, getting to know oneself maybe, getting in touch with different cultures. What other aspects are there that fascinate you about the industry, Pia?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to study something, but I was not sure what to study. And suddenly, I think it was when I was 15 years old, the idea of studying tourism popped into my mind, because I always was interested in this dynamic relations between identity, culture, and society. And I think this is exactly where traveling and tourism cuts right across. So traveling means so much to people and to our society, not only from an economic perspective, like it's a mass phenomenon that has become a very important pillar of our economy, and therefore also plays a big and important role in presenting solutions to the current problems we are facing. But it's also very interesting as a psychological or sociological phenomenon, because when you are abroad or when you're traveling in general, you are in a kind of sphere or in a mindset that is extremely different from what you used to do, and your perspective, your habits, everything is just out of the ordinary. And I felt it myself several times when I was abroad, that I somehow grew beyond myself and the person who came back was not the person who left. So this phenomenon about traveling is so fascinating for me that I knew I want to do something with relation to tourism.
Yeah, that sounds great and like a lot of passion here. Thank you. And now it's time to share your passion, Stefan, I would say, for the tourism and travel industry. Although in your case, it comes from a different angle, I would say. You are also amidst your bachelor's degree, but in the field of information systems at Technical University of Munich. So what's your link to tourism and why do you love the industry? What would you say?
Yeah, so I travel a lot myself and therefore also work on a lot of personal projects regarding traveling and search engines, regarding traveling and finding accommodation and transport. So it's just something that I really do, I really like to do myself, and for which I build projects, which is really something that kind of connects me with that industry. And I also work at a company that creates software for various industries. So not specifically tourism industry, but it might also include it. So that's what I usually do. Like, it's just something that I would personally say it's more of something which I do because I like it. And I might kind of make it my own profession as a hobby while working on something else.
Wow.
So that sounds
great. I mean, that's a dream for everyone, actually. And I would say you're a passionate traveler as well. That is probably another link to the industry,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think I'm more often abroad than I'm at home. It's because it's something that I just really enjoy. It's something that Pierre also mentioned. I just like to explore new cultures, talk to different people, it's also nice to talk to people in Germany, but it's just another experience to talk to people who live another life, especially if you're not in the Western world and you're a bit more in Asia. And yeah, I like another climate zone. I like to go to the beach in winter. And I like cheap food, like compared to what we're used to. So it's just a few things which make me really travel a lot. So it's just something that I regularly do every 2 or 3 weeks.
Great.
Yeah.
And I think an ideal imagination of one's life for any professional who's working in the industry somehow. And this brings me a bit to my next point. In our little briefing, you told me, Stefan, that you are a fan of remote work, not least because of your travel addiction, as we might call it, probably. So my first question in this context is, so you're in your 20s. Have you ever experienced a work situation where you come to the office like 5 days a week, sitting at the same desk every day, etc.? Or is that something you have never experienced, actually, because you had the opportunity for remote work since you've started to work?
Well, I started off as a freelancer, so I kind of had my own decision there. I did not go to the office. And later I joined a company, which also was like in the process of starting remote work because of the coronavirus. But they had office days, and people usually went to office, and then they had to switch over to like a remote situation, which a lot of companies did back then. And it was like kind of lucky, I think. That's the time when I joined, so I was never like in an office where I had to be. And now I kind of shape a remote first culture at our company, because it's not just flipping a switch, it's you have to rebuild and build new processes in order to support a remote first culture at a company, which is what I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's a big trend, as we all can hear and see and experience ourselves, of course. So can we then say that this is something you personally expect from any future employer, allowing you to work from anywhere in the world for a certain amount of your work time, at least?
Yeah, it's like a no-brainer for me. it's a requirement.
And
well, it's like you said, like that's what the topic is about. I can choose where I want to work because we've got like so much offers. So I would just go where it's something that is given to me. And if there is nothing, I would just work as a freelancer again. It's just something which is ubiquitous right now, and it will be in the future.
Thank you for sharing these thoughts, Stefan and Pia. Sometimes the topic of remote work in the tourism industry isn't that easy, as many occupations within the sector are stationary. If we think, for example, about hotels, restaurants, etc., have you had the opportunity to work remotely in any of your previous jobs?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate on Stefan's comment, because I think calling remote work a no-brainer is, it's very much the essence of what this new work spirit of our generation is about. It's about this flexibility and not necessarily having to do something, but having the option to. It does not mean that whenever you might have the opportunity to start working at 10, you start working at 10 because you're like a lazy person and something like that. It's just about having the opportunity and fitting your personal life, your plans and everything into a work that should support you in living up to who you are, in my opinion. So yeah, I really much like that thought. But of course, as you said, Laura, it's not always that easy in the tourism industry. So if you have a management position, for example, I think it's doable. Like most people, I think especially CEO, female CEOs might push forward this trend at the moment because they had the COVID pandemic and they realized that having the opportunity to work from home sometimes can put off a lot of stress and pressure from your shoulders. But on the other hand, I think that we must also be careful with that, because you start to have very, very many occupations and many different roles you need to fulfill at the same time when you work remotely. And this is also what I realized when I worked from home for a while. Like my second to my fifth semester, I spent working from home and studying from home, of course, because presence classes at the university were forbidden. And I also had side jobs during that time. And I worked as a teacher, a language teacher for migrant children. And I worked as an assistant in project management for a professor at our university. And this was a time when I sat at the desk like hours and hours, much longer than a usual workday. And I sometimes got confused in my head with the different roles and the different boundaries that suddenly started to blur. But I have to say that I felt that I worked more productively in that time as well, because I could adjust my work times and my schedule according to my metabolism and my personal biorhythm. So for me, for example, it was very helpful to have the opportunity to decide when I start working, because I'm an early bird and I like to get up early and finish the hard work, the tasks that need to be done first thing in the morning. And then at noon, I get kind of a low period where I start to contemplate, or where I need to talk to other people to get some new inspiration and new thought. And this would be the time when I could join conferences, or when I would come to the office if it's possible. And in the evening, I usually get creative again. So at about 9 or 10 p.m., it's another high for me, where I really sometimes have the need or the urge to write something down when it pops up in my head. And being flexible to do all that by working remotely or working in a hybrid model, this would be very important for me as well.
Yeah, that's a good and a very interesting point. But Pia, the possibility for remote work, is that then something you would expect from your future employers as well? Knowing that not all professions might give you the opportunity, especially if you think about tourism or hospitality? Or is it something you could think about, but it's not a must?
Well, I think having some of remote work or new work, as this trend is called, elements in your later professional life is important for me, and remote work is definitely a factor. So when I, for example, I was recently in a situation when I had to decide between two job offers, and in the end, I took kind of passion over payment, because this job I was more passionate about really offered me the flexibility and the framework to discover to grow. And this is something that was only possible due to working and doing other things at the same time. And if I had not had the opportunity to work remotely, I would not have been able to do all these projects I want to do and arrange my schedule, juggle these different priorities I have at the same time. And this is definitely the aspect that finally made me take this decision for this specific company or this specific offer. But this also brings me to my little remark about that. It's not just about remote work. For me, the opportunity to grow and the notion of being supported by your employer is also very important for me. So it's also about the culture, it's like the work climate and being competent in dealing with your employees, like finally finding a good balance between trust and control and support and, I don't know, like conversations, giving feedback. This is also very important for me.
Right. So many soft factors, as we might call it. But apart from these, are there any hard facts, if we might call it like that? You just mentioned flexible working hours, but for example, the number of holidays, is that, or the amount of holidays, is that something you would look at in the first place when you screen potential employers? Or is then again the decision, it's all about passion and the opportunity to grow and everything, and that's a side effect? And because it used to be an important fact, what's the number of the amount of holidays, but I'm not so sure whether it's still that important nowadays.
For me, I would say it is a minor factor to consider in this situation, because there are always opportunities to talk to your boss and ask for, I don't know, like 3 months off to find yourself, to work abroad or to shift to a different department and to get some new inspiration, a new climate and a new environment, which might open up new perspectives for yourself. And this could also be like a mini holiday while you're still working. Because you are out of the ordinary, you are stuck within the same office with the same people anymore. So of course, having real holiday, as you might think of it in the traditional sense of words, I think is important, but I would rather go for, I don't know, working away, working abroad, rather than just the number. Yeah,
having these 30 days off or right. Something, right? Wow. Stefan, would you agree on that?
Well, I guess it's not as important as it used to be. And nowadays, intangible benefits are a lot more important than they were before, I guess. However, I think it's still important to have, like, I don't know how many holidays you usually get, but it's still important to have that set, and it's still a priority for me making a decision, because although I'm able to work remotely, although I'm able to enjoy the sun while working, it's still work. And if I want to, I don't know, relax a bit, do not think about work for a week for my personal health, that's something which is still important to me and which I want to be sure ahead, instead of asking for it a year after work based on my efficiency and my quality at work. So I partially agree that is not as important, but I feel like it's still something which drives my decision nowadays.
Okay, understand. So there's also what you will need is a frame, actually, that gives orientation.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And Stefan, we heard from Pia that salary is not always, well, the decisive factor for taking a job opportunity. And if you could rate on the spur of this moment on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 indicating the highest importance possible, how important are those factors to you? So let's start off with salary or monetary benefits.
I would go with 7.5.
Good. option for remote work.
10.
Mm-hmm. Further aspects, as Pia has mentioned before, of new work, like flexible working hours, health offers maybe at work, or personalized system of training and development, stuff like that.
Specifically flexible time, like working hours, 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about additional offers at work?
Well, for example, we got sports, which are covered. So you can just go to some gym and it's kind of paid by your company, which is quite nice, which is also quite important. I would also go for 9. So it's very, that's something which is really nice. And I actually kind of seek for when joining a company.
Mm-hmm. And what about the organizational culture, the feeling of belonging? Is that anything very important to you?
Yeah, it's also really important because it's kind of the social aspect there, I guess. And it kind of makes the job. It's about fun to you. It kind of controls how well you do at work. If it's not fun and you don't enjoy it, yeah, I would just switch it then. And also the job itself has to be fun and you really want to do it. It's still important to work with people that you like and you can kind of get along well with. So that's still very important. I'm not sure, are we still rating?
Then I would go for, yeah, we can.
Then I would still, I would go for 11.
Oh, okay, great. Good. That's a statement. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the last one, security of employment.
That's a bit difficult because I think it's a personal decision. I would kind of go for a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because I myself like to shape companies, which often means that you start at a company which is not that set and still a bit risky, even though you can still have a look at a company which is new but has a lot of opportunities in the future. However, it's not as important to me because if the company files bankruptcy in the worst case, there's still more to come. And that's something, it's not just, I don't see it as something which is lost, but I just see it as another experience which will come. So it's not as important to me, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, you know what your qualifications are, and it is not that important anymore to have a contract that is unlimited. Maybe you would start off with a 1-year contract and then see how everything develops and whether it fits your needs and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
What about job or security of employment? How important is that for you?
For me, I always was insecure about this specific question myself, because I'm usually a person who likes to plan a lot, to have everything organized and to be sure about what I'm doing. But on the other hand, I'm also very curious. So I don't like positions where I limit myself because I sign a 10-year contract and I might miss out opportunities and potentials I could develop just because I made this commitment. So I kind of figured out for myself that I would rather go for the company that offers me the opportunity to grow into the business. So might be a short-term contract at first, and then having regular, maybe periodical conversations and meetings and evaluate together how could my future be pictured from the company's point of view and from my personal point of view. And if there's still a match, I would go with the same company, of course, but otherwise I would not be too afraid to resign and to seek out for a new opportunity. So I don't believe in this one job for a lifetime model either. I think you develop, the industry develops, and there are new professions emerging, there are new responsibilities that we need to deal with, and so I don't think that there is something as absolute job security anyway. So I would go for finding a solution together, which means reevaluating the potentials that are there.
You would have to work for the government.
And Pia, now you mentioned social media, and as you will soon enter your internship semester or already are in it, as you just told us, how do you approach your job search activities? Where do you look for jobs? How do job offers need to be like in order to attract you? Are that videos or is it the classical one pager you find on a website?
Well, so I wrote a lot of job announcements recently when I was searching for my internship, and actually job search for me is a continuous activity that I do since I started studying, because I like to have an eye on what's going on in the industry in general. And for that, social media is really perfect for me, because I subscribe newsletters and I follow the career accounts that not, of course, the top players in the industry, in the tourism business, but also in the media industry and related industries, for example, TV or also the IT sector sometimes, have on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I personally am not a fan or a user of TikTok, but I heard a lot about it from my friends and from people which I met abroad. So in different countries, different social media play differently important roles, of course. And for them, for example, TikTok was very important. And if I would see a job announcement on Instagram, for example, I would definitely click on it, and I would also not hesitate to contact and to reach out to employers via social media. But for me, it is not a complete substitute for the traditional application process. So even though I write a message via Instagram, I would definitely take care about my spelling, my grammar, watch out for formulating my sentences accurately, just as I would do if I would write a paper application. On the other hand, for me, the different application forms, like letter of application, the resume, the cover letter, and the CV, those certificates, I would not like to send via social media. So I would always be the person to reach out to the contact of the HR department, for example, and then ask them to make a personal phone call, for example, or a video call, which I frequently did and which I experienced was becoming the new status quo. And for me, this is much more important to get to know the company as well, because talking to a representative and reading what's written on a job announcement or what's written on the career website are two pairs of shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stefan presumed that you would get employed after your studies or during your studies, maybe another part-time job. Would you get in touch with your potential employer, for example, via TikTok or Instagram? Or
yeah, sure. I mean, why not? Nowadays, it's a bit different, I think, because in at least in my sector, it's kind of the other way around, because companies apply to you in a lot of cases, which is also part of why I earlier mentioned that I want to build up my self-worth by creating projects, by having a website, a portfolio, which makes you a more interesting person to those companies. Because that's also one reason why I built EasyJob, like the application which can write applications for you without you having to do anything. Because if an artificial intelligence can write your application, it might not be as important anymore. Because it's something, because nowadays we look for unique people. We look for people like their personal aspect, which you have to bring into. And you will have to look for the experience of someone if you want quality over quantity. So application itself, well, you probably have to do it. But when I, at my company, when we look like for new people, I personally don't look a lot into that, although it might be interesting if there are a lot of spelling mistakes. However, I'm kind of the fan of looking at the experience, not the education. I don't really care about the education either. It's something about the experience and the personality which kind of make 95% of the application for me. And I don't know, applying via TikTok, why not? It's just another form of applying. Something else than an email, for example. And companies often do adverts on TikTok anyway. So it might be something which they also would want.
Yeah,
seems like it.
I mean, there's a lot of companies already skipping the official letter of application and any other hurdles, so to speak. So they try to keep it as easy as possible and then find out everything during personal meetings and everything. But it's very interesting to see your points of view, your viewpoints, and both, I think, will lead into the future somehow, and depending on the company, on the brand culture and stuff like that. And what about LinkedIn, Stefan? I had seen you are not very active on this platform, and during our briefing, you then told me LinkedIn is completely out already, at least in your sector. That was something very interesting to me, as I have the impression that in tourism and, for example, in the hospitality industry, where I am personally based or located, LinkedIn is one of the most important channels. So what is the next big thing in terms of social media?
Okay, well, first of all, I think it's not that yet, but the technology sector is, I think, it's often ahead in a lot of trends because they often develop it themselves. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn was like important a few years back. Nowadays, it's just you're on LinkedIn. You get written by some recruiters on LinkedIn. People share, like, I don't know, some news about their industry, which you can, but most of the things that I'm interested in is not on LinkedIn, it's on Twitter. It's on other social media that people actually use. Well, it's not necessarily, I don't see how LinkedIn is that important. As I've already mentioned, it's about the experience, having your own. Well, it's not the same for the tourism industry, of course. But in my sector, it's having a project experience. And you don't necessarily need LinkedIn for that. You just use the application process that the company provides you with anyway. And they sometimes might tell you, yeah, please give us a link of your LinkedIn account. For developers, there's GitHub, which is like another platform on which you can share your projects, which is more important because it says more about you than some colleague who mentioned you on your LinkedIn page and said he's done a good job, and your own job description. You just repeat your LinkedIn description anyway on your application. So I don't know. LinkedIn is just something which is not for me, and nowadays it's not as popular anymore in the technology industry.
That is interesting. Pia, what about you? You're a LinkedIn user, a passionate one?
Yes, I'm a LinkedIn user, but not a passionate one. So I agree with Stefan that for me, LinkedIn starts to become the new Facebook, I would say. So it's a platform where everybody tells you you have to have an account. Once you start studying, or once you search for your first job, create a LinkedIn account. But actually, it was helpful for me only to get the name of people. So to find out who is the responsible manager for this and that position, because coming back to what you asked before, frequently, I think companies trying to make application processes very, very easy and fast, but they kind of lack the information that are very helpful for applicants in the process. So if you need to send an application and you cannot fill in a form, an online form, for example, you would need to have the name of the responsible manager. And for that, I use LinkedIn a lot. But actually, when it's about applying myself, I would always think about something more creative. It's just like Stefan said, it's about showing what you can, showing what experience you have, and where your limits maybe also are. So this is why I, for myself, found my personal website a good substitute for that. So I created a website where I introduce myself and where I have my CV and my portfolio and everything directly available. So people who would just Google me can find me on LinkedIn, or they can find me on my website, and through that they can reach out to me directly without the need of a third platform. And this is something I can update more regularly, and I think it's independent from the limits or the functions that those platforms offer you. So it's more about showing your personality and bringing it into the website or whatever form, creative form of application you hand in, which is already kind of a sample of work.
Yeah, great approach. And I saw Stefan does the same. So maybe we can encourage more young people to do that. And now, folks, let's try to look a bit into the future. What will be the topics, or should be the topics, you will be dealing with as professionals within, let's say, the next 10 years or so with regards to tourism and travel? What do you think? Maybe, Pia, would you like to start?
Of course. So I think tourism is one of the most sensible and sensitive businesses towards regarding the different trends or influences in our society and in our economy. So we've seen in the times of the COVID pandemic that tourism is not as independent as it was always thought to be, because it actually came to a complete hold when the pandemic hit and the boundaries were just shut, and where the borders were just shut, and where the government tried to put security over the freedom to travel. So this is something that really made me feel uncomfortable at first, because I was fearing for my professional future in the tourism business in, I don't know how many years the pandemic might last. So that was something that gave me a little bit of a creep in the beginning. But then it also was stunning to observe how how solid and how reliable people's need and people's creativity to travel and to make something possible to travel, to get to know other cultures, other countries, other people, actually was. So this was also something that I heard from so many people who work in the industry, so many very well-known speakers and experts from the sector, that they said growing resilience is one of the most important tasks of our time. And it's growing resilience in the industry with new business models, with new also maybe revenue streams, given the inflation and the energy prices, which is a huge problem for the tourism industry, but also growing resilience in the people. And therefore, also those soft factors of new work will also be important. For example, starting with creative workspaces or biophilic design, also in, or especially in very stressful occupations, like in the tourism industry and in the hotelier business, for example, those will be the topics that shall move the industry, and there should definitely be more discussions about that.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Pia. And Stefan, can you add on Pia's thoughts?
Yeah, sure. So I kind of understand why she was frightened back then. Nonetheless, I think that traveling is something that people will always want to do. And there's like this desire pyramid, and I think it's quite important there as well, even though you might put it to self-realization. But for me, it's like right after food. However, yeah, it's something which people will always want and do. However, one aspect which will also quite be important, in my opinion, even though I'm not that knowledgeable about the tourism industry, will be climate change and climate-friendly traveling, which will require some, well, I don't know, change, optimizations, and might also enable people to have new business opportunities to make place for applications for people that can share, like there's a lot of apps already that can share a car, surprise tickets for flying to use every seat in your plane, and it will be in the next 10 years it will only get more important over time, so that will be something which will need some innovation. Because people will always want to travel, and you will not only, and it's not the solution to make it more expensive, because people who do not have much money, they also want to travel, they also want to learn new cultures, they want to learn new languages. Otherwise, it's just like a circle in which you're moving. Another thing which might also be quite important is, well, we've already talked about remote work a lot, and right now, for me personally, I feel like remote work has not really arrived at hotels right now, for example, because, well, of course, some hotels do have offices for you. However, it's kind of something which is like co-working places, which are, they're already ubiquitous, even though they are very pricey right now, but there should be something like offices in the world around, like where you can just sleep. It's a hotel, but you can stay there for a month, for 2 months, be able to work there, because traveling, it's not only 2 week holidays. If you're living a digital nomad lifestyle, it's you go to Thailand, you stay there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. And you don't always want to look for an apartment, which might be empty, but you want to have a short-term hotel, which might also give you an office, which is not the case right now. So there's some, that's something that should be, that people should pay more attention to in that area. Good internet, like good Wi-Fi, a nice office desk. And yeah, that's all it takes, as well as maybe optimizing for people that want to stay more than a few weeks, and are not just there for holiday and relaxing, but are actually kind of want to live there for their time.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much for these great, hints, also from a traveler's perspective, not only from the B2B perspective. And yeah, so thank you both so much for sharing your thoughts, your beliefs and values, and also a bit your personal dreams with us in this episode of ITB Travel Hero Podcast. Let's talk. Pia and Stefan, I wish you the very best for your professional careers, and please keep up your passion, and also never give up the will to change things for the better. And I'm sure that you share your passion and thirst for action with many, many other young professionals out there. And that is something we all need to preserve in order to make professions even more purposeful. Because I heard a lot of topics concerning purpose and purposefulness within your occupation and what you're doing. So my task, dear listeners, at the end of this episode is, please answer yourself the following question. What is it that makes your profession purposeful, and how often do you appreciate this consciously? And last but not least, how can you maybe add on to the current purpose? So thank you very much for joining us, and I'm already looking forward to the next episode of our series, The Future of Work. Stay tuned. The next time we will look at the topic from a scientific perspective. So Pia, Stefan, thank you very much.